Beloved Sawan, the Forgiver, remove the pains of the suffering ones. This is the Bhajan Sawan Apyare Bhakashanaharde on page 242. Our souls are burning and roasting. Cool them by applying the nectar. We have forgotten your Nam. Improve our distorted fate. The ship has been launched in the ocean. Become the helmsman and sail it across. Shower grace, make us meditate on Nam and kill our egoism. This is my request after folding my hands. Take care of poor Ajaib. Beloved Sawan, the Forgiver, remove the pains of the suffering ones.
Bhakshana hare dukya de dadada nirvarare ho dukya de dadada nirvarare o sawana piyare bhakshana hare dukya de dadada nivarare o dukya de dadada nivarare o ruha sardiya tapadiya sadiya ruha sadriya tapadiya sadiya amrit piyake tarare o amrit piyake tarare o Sawana piyare bhakshana hare dukya de dadada nivarare o dukya de dadada nivarare o Asi bulgeya tere namanu Asi bulgeya tere namanu Sadi bigarinu ake swarde O bigari nuake swarade o sawana piyare bhakshana hare dukya de dadada nivarade o dukya de dadada nivarade o bedasagara vicha tilagaya bedasagara vicha tilagaya Bano melate darde o bano melate darde o sawana piyare bhakshana hare dukya de dadada nivarade o dukya de dadada nivarade o Deya karo nama japa lavo. Deya karo nama japa lavo. Sadi home hangatanu maradeo. Home hangatanu maradeo. Sawana piare bhakshana hare. Dukkhya de dardada nivardade o dukkhya de dardada nivardade o hatbana arjahe meriya hatbana arjahe meriya garib jai badi sarale o garib jai badi sarale o sawana piyare bhakshana hare dukkhya de dardada nivardade o dukkhya de dardada nivardade o
beloved Sawan, the forgiver, remove the pains of the suffering ones. We'll begin today continuing in our reading of the book In Search of the Gracious One. This is in the chapter where these are Sanchi's recollections of his time in the army. And he's been talking about a number of the things that being in the army helped him with, learned valuable lessons from. So, we begin, Sanchi says, I learned another valuable lesson in the army when they were teaching us how to shoot our rifles at a target. They taught us that first of all, you should keep your body, the gun, and the target all in one line, steady and fixed, and your attention should be on the center of the target. Then you were to look through the two portions of the rifle, the back sight and the front sight, and keep the crosshairs of the two sights in one line, and it should be in line with the target. You should hold your breath. You should not look here or there, and very slowly, very smoothly, you should pull the trigger. Those who shot according to the training, keeping everything in one line and doing it very gently and smoothly, would always become successful. But some people did not keep their body, the gun, and the target in one line, or they would move or they would not hold their breath. Those who did not do it correctly never became successful. The same thing applies in the practice of meditation. When we sit for meditation, it is like we're trying to hit the center of the target. But in this case, the eye center, the area between and above the two eyebrows, is our target. In this meditation, we have to keep our body as still as in the army when we're using a rifle. If our body is still, our mind is still, and if we are concentrating correctly at the eye center, we can progress a lot only after only a few sittings in meditation. If our body is not still, if we do not take up a posture in which we are relaxed and comfortable, without any tension in the body, then we have to change our posture again and again, and that will break our attention and we'll not be able to hit the target. Those who used to change their aim at the target again and again would not become successful. This was my personal experience, that we had to shoot 5 bullets, placing them in an area of 1 inch. I did that only by keeping 1 target all the time, only by trying to hit the same place again and again. The same thing helped me a lot in Sant Mat, because the Master teaches us, dear ones, if you go on changing your contemplation, if you go on changing the place where you concentrate, you will not become successful. You have to go on looking at the same place if you want to become successful. In the military, there are various types of people. Some of them only know how to use obscene words and drink wine and go to prostitutes. They are not very spiritual or religious. However, I was never affected by them, and I was never worried about them. I remember that in the beginning, in the evening, some people used to drink wine and come to my bed and dancing and using very bad words. They would dance on my bed, and they wanted me to join them. But I used to sleep with my sheet over my head, and I never paid any attention to them. Sometimes they would pull the sheet from my body, but I never allowed them to take it from my eyes. They did that for the first few days, and later on, when they came to know that I was not like them, that I was doing my devotion, they didn't disturb me. We were all living in one big barracks, but still, after a few days, when they realized that I was doing devotion, they were so impressed that nobody dared drink wine in the barracks. They would go out of the room to drink wine. If we are sitting doing our Simran, the remembrance of God, and there are people sitting next to us talking, if we pay attention to their talking and become nasty towards them in our heart, we're not doing the devotion, and we're no better than the people who are talking. They are talking using their tongue, and we are talking using our mind. But if we do not pay any attention to them when doing Simran, since God is sitting within them also, then after some time they will realize they are making a mistake. If our Simran is strong and constant, and if we are true to our own self, then no matter how many people are talking in the room, God will make them quiet. And by themselves, they will leave the room. If we are strong in our Simran, then God will find some way to make things easier for us so that we can do more Simran. If I had told those people who were disturbing me that they should keep quiet or be silent while I did my practices, would they have done that? If I had told them to keep quiet, they would have made more noise and disturbed me even more. Therefore, I did not pay any attention to the disturbance that they were causing. I just kept on doing my work without paying any attention to them, and in that way I was able to avoid them. Even when I was in the army, I was not in the habit of socializing with people. I don't even know how to play cards or games like chess, and I never did that. I did not go to places where crowds might be. I did not go to the marketplaces or into the cities. If I was in need of soap or any clothing or anything like that, I would not go to the city and buy it for myself. I would tell my friends to buy it for me. I would just go out and do my work and come back to my barracks. People used to taunt me and laugh at me and say, "Why have you come into this world when you don't know anything about it?" I never went to see any movie in my whole life. Actually, this is a story I want to remember from the very first tour in 1977. One evening, early in the tour, Kent brought a movie down to Master's house to show to Sanchi. It was the movie that was the first movie made of a trip going to India. Pictures of the train station and rides on the train and walking around the ashram and pictures of the movie showing Sanchi and this and that. And at the end of it, when the lights were back on, Sanchi turned to us and said, "This is the first movie that I have ever seen in my whole life." In the military, once a week on Sunday, they would show us a movie, free of charge, and people tried to persuade me to see them. Everybody praised the movies, and they would tell me, "It's very good entertainment, and you don't have to pay anything. Why don't you go and see it? It's very beautiful." Even the officers would ask me why I was not going to see the movies. However, when people would ask me this and try to inspire me to go to the movies, I would inspire them in return to go within and see the inner movie. I would tell them, "Poison, if it is given out free of charge, will still work. It will have a bad effect. That's why I don't want to see the movies." And I would tell them, "I don't want to make the world my own. I don't say that the world is bad, but I don't want to make it my own. All these modern conveniences make men extroverted, and I am trying to become introverted. I know that by watching movies, the waves of the world come into the mind more, and the mind gets spread out in the world more. If I watch the movies, then when I sit for meditation, instead of doing the work that I am supposed to do in meditation, I would start seeing all the things that are shown in the movies, and I would think about them. If you want to get real peace, if you want to see the real beauty, you should sit at one place, and you should try to look within and see what is happening. I know there are many beautiful things in the within. One will get tired enjoying the outer entertainment after 2 or 3 hours. However, the inner entertainment is such that one will never get tired of looking there. So I am trying to go in the within. I'm trying to see that living movie which is going on in my within. That is why I do not want to see these movies." People go to the cinemas, and although nothing on the screen is real, they spend so much precious time just sitting, watching the movies. They do not pay attention to the inner things, but waste so much time on the unreal things. How can we have a good effect by seeing the bad movies? It spreads out our thoughts more. So how can we concentrate our thoughts? How can we collect our thoughts? I requested my commanding officer to give me any duty rather than tell me to go see the movies. Therefore, my officer never forced me to go and see them. He used to tell me, "Okay, if you are not interested in this, go and rest." The other people used to go to the movies, but I always sat and remembered the names Hai Ram, Hai Gobind. Although I did not have initiation into Shabdnam when I was in the army, still, I was not very much in the outer world. Whenever I would close my eyes in meditation and look in the within, I would see many beautiful things over there. When one's inner experience is full of all these beautiful things, if one goes within even a little bit and sees even a glimpse of what is within, then one would not go to see any outward movies. What to talk about going to see any movie? One would not even go into the cinema house to use its toilet, because the inner thing is so beautiful. While I had these beautiful inner experiences, still, I didn't know where to go and where not to go in the inner worlds. I came to know that the within is full of many fantastic things, but its key was with the perfect master. Unless I met some perfect Satguru, I would not be able to know where to go and where not to go. So, when one joins the army, of course the people already there want to increase the number of people who share their way of thinking. The people who ate meat were always praising eating meat. The drunkards were always telling me the advantages of drinking wine. However, if one was strong and did not want to eat meat or drink wine, nobody forced him to do that. It was my personal experience that where there is a will, there is a way. I found that avoiding those things was not too difficult. In the army, in order to please our officers, we would sometimes have to stand outside the house where the officers went to drink wine. They would enjoy while we waited outside because we were in their service and we did not know at what time they would call us and ask for something. At these times, I felt very sorry for myself because right from my childhood, I had been desirous of realizing God. I repented within myself that if I had spent that precious night in the remembrance of God, I would have gotten something. But just to please the worldly officers, I had to stay awake all night. After the night passed, and when in the early morning the time for devotion came, the devoted people would start doing their devotion and chanting in the Gurdwara. Even after staying awake the whole night, I would go and join them. However, the others would go to sleep and they would abuse the people of the Gurdwara for doing all the chanting. When the time of devotion would come, they would go to their beds, abusing the devotees. Mahatma Charandas has said, "What is the use of staying awake for filling up the hookah? What is the use of staying awake for other people? What is the use even of staying awake to enjoy with the women? If you are doing that and you're not staying awake for your own self, for doing meditation and the devotion of God, you cannot cross the ocean of life." And we'll begin reading from a talk that Sanchi gave here at Sampani in August of 1977. This was published under the title, "He Never Leaves Us." We'll begin with lines from the hymn. This is a hymn of Guru Amar Das. "Those who turn away from the Satguru, it is not good even to see their faces." And Sanchi says, "This is the bani of Sri Guru Amar Das Ji Maharaj. Right from his childhood, he was longing to meet God. He always lived a very simple life. He had only one pair of clothes, although he was a clothes merchant. Many times he visited the Hindu places of pilgrimage, including the river Ganges, but he didn't find any peace of mind there. But when he met the daughter of Guru Angad Dev Ji and heard Guru Angad's bani from her, he went with her to him. After taking initiation from Guru Angad, he meditated on that and brought peace to his soul. He loved to do seva, and he was full of humility. He brought firewood to the langar, and he cooked the food also. Whatever seva he was given, he would do wholeheartedly. Guru Angad Dev Ji was so pleased with his seva that he made him his own form and gave him the authority to give the initiation." Now, in this hymn, Guru Amar Das is telling us that what he achieved from the path of the masters. He talks of the advantages of meeting the master and the disadvantages of becoming antagonistic toward the master. He talks about nam, who gets nam, and what the advantages are of getting nam. Lovingly, he explains to us that only they get nam and only they come into the satsang on whom God has been gracious. God inspires them from within, and then they come into the satsang of a mahatma. And the Mahatma creates the yearning to meditate on Nam through the satsang. Only when God is gracious can anyone come into the satsang. If God is not gracious on us, we will never come in contact with the Master. Even if he lives in our neighborhood, or he takes birth in our own home, still we will not believe in him. And the Master will never say, "I am the Master," or "I can give you this thing." Guru Nanak says, "If it is not written in our destiny, we will not believe in the Mahatma or go to him. Even if he is sitting next to us, we will not believe in him." I have seen in the time of Master Sawan Singh that many Westerners, foreigners, and people from different parts of India came and took advantage of his presence and his work. But the people of the nearby villages, Balsarai and Baraik, were always fighting with him. The Akalis of those places opposed him so much that they would send some of their men to take initiation, and then they would write the Simran on the wall and say, "He is only giving the knowledge of these few words." Master Sawan Singh used to say, "If a dog passes through a cotton field, he cannot come out wearing a coat. If he shakes himself, only a little cotton comes out." The knowledge of the words is not Nam. Nam is the attention of the Master. Saints are almighty. No one can deceive them. At the time of initiation, when they give initiation, they know everything. They see how much karma the soul has to pay off to the negative power. Those who come to the Master in this way, playing tricks, get only the words from them and not their attention. So here Guru Amar Das is saying that it is not good even to look at the faces of those who are going away from the Master after taking initiation from him. And from the hymn, "They get punished constantly, and when they repent, they don't get the time back which is lost." Now he says that even the negative power punishes them. It's like the criminal being beaten by policemen before appearing in court. Then they repent, but the time that has passed cannot be gotten back. And again from the hymn, "O Hari, keep your grace on us." Now the Mahatmas, whose eyes are opened, know it is all in the hands of God, their Satguru. Only he can bring the people to them. Only he knows whom he has to bring and whom he has not to bring. That is why Guru Amar Das says, "O Satguru, if you are gracious, only then can the souls remain attached to you." And from the hymn, "O Lord, bring us in your true company, so that we may have the essence of devotion in our heart." Now he talks about that deed by doing which we can always be attached to God. And that deed is satsang. In those on whom he is showering grace, he creates the yearning to go into satsang. Paltu Sab, who has written a lot about the importance of satsang, says, "Run, run, O disciple of the fakir. Here there is the fear of women and wealth. If you will not run away from these things, they will ruin you, and then you will weep. These things have ruined even Sringi Rishi and others who proclaimed themselves renunciates. They were destroyed by women and wealth." Sringi Rishi lived in the forest for a long time, and he had been doing meditation there. King Dasarath was childless, and the astrologers told him, "If Sringi Rishi comes into your home and performs the yajna, a certain ritual, only then will you have children. But Sarangi Rishi was not ready to come into any village, and it was very difficult to bring him into the world to make him perform the yajna. So King Dasarath announced that he was offering a big prize to anyone who could bring Sarangi Rishi into his village. There was a woman who accepted that offer, and she said that she would be able to go and bring Sarangi Rishi. She went to the forest where Sarangi Rishi was living, and she disguised herself as a lady sadhu and watched what Sarangi Rishi was doing. She came to know that he was not eating any food and was always remaining in meditation. But once a day, he would come to a particular tree and touch that tree with his tongue. But he was not eating or drinking any other thing. So at the place where Sarangi Rishi was touching the tree with his tongue, that woman pasted some honey. And on the next day, when Sarangi Rishi came and put his tongue on that part of the tree, he found the honey there, and it was very tasty. Before that, Sarangi Rishi had never tasted honey. So when it tasted very sweet, instead of touching his tongue once, he touched it two times. On the next day, that woman pasted some nourishing food there. In that way, Sarangi Rishi started eating the food which was pasted there, and as his body got strength, the desires also were awakened. He felt like enjoying lust, and the woman was there. Eventually, they produced some children, and the woman said to Sarangi Rishi one day, "You see, once we were alone here. Only the two of us were living. But now we have children, and we should move to some place where other people are living, because the forest is not a good place to bring up our children." So at that time, Sarangi Rishi had three children, and it was decided that they would move into the city. So it was announced that Sarangi Rishi was coming to the city where King Dasarath was living, and everybody gathered there to have the darshan of such a great Mahatma. But people saw that Sarangi Rishi was coming, carrying one child on his shoulder, another in a backpack, like those in which the American people put their babies. Another was holding his finger, and last was the woman. So when the people who were gathered to have darshan of such a great Mahatma saw that he was coming with three children and a wife, they felt very bad, and they said, "Who will call him the Mahatma? This Mahatma's condition is worse than the worldly people." When they taunted Sarangi Rishi, then he realized that he had been deceived by that woman. And then, leaving the children and the woman there, he went back to the jungle. So that is why Paltu Sab says, "They have destroyed even people like Sarangi Rishi and others who were renunciates. Those who have left these things and said that they were renunciates, they didn't escape either." So Paltu Das says, "Only he will escape from these things who remains awake in the satsang day and night. Because only he can escape if he goes into a place where he is constantly reminded of his faults, and his mind is rebuked, and he sees his weaknesses in front of him." That is why Guru Sab says here, "O God, shower grace on us. Bring us to your satsang so we can remember you and do your devotion." And again from the hymn, "The devotees who work according to the Gurumukhs win the favor of the Lord." No matter how much devotion we do according to our mind and intellect and according to our own will, and no matter how large a donation we may give, none of these things count, because they can all be found in Vedas and Shastras. That is why Guru Sab says here, "Who are the devotees of God? Who are the beloveds of God? Those who are walking on the path shown by the Gurumukhs." And from the hymn, they serve the Master, giving up egotism, and they die while living. Now Guru Amar Das Ji says that those who follow the path of devotion shown by the Gurumukhs know that they have to become free of egoism. They know how to collect their scattered thoughts with the help of Simran and how to rise above and come to Tisra Til. And again from the hymn, the one in whose body we are living is ruling over us. Mahatmas make us understand that we are under the orders of the government who owns the city, and we are under the orders of God who owns this body. But there is another government in our body. Lust, anger, greed, and egoism and attachment, and we are under its control. If any soul wants to become liberated from these, that government becomes very forceful with him, and becoming very hard, it makes him do what it wants him to. Swamiji Maharaj says, sometimes coming as our friend, it persuades us to do what it wants, and sometimes coming as our enemy, it frightens us, and in that way, we do what it wants. Sometimes these passions come to us as our friend, and they say, what is wrong with enjoying lust? What is wrong in doing all these things? When we do them, then they make us realize that these are bad things that we have done. But what can be done then? And from the hymn, why should we forget him who sustains us? Keep him always in your heart. We know that we need some power or current to run the parts of any machine. If we do not give any power or current to that machine, those parts never move. In the same way, our body also has parts, legs and ears and eyes, etc. The negative power makes all of the body and fixes all of its parts. But until the current or the soul, which is supplied by Satpurush, enters into it, its parts cannot operate. As long as that power is working in us, our friends and relatives love us, they kiss us, they appreciate us, they are all very fond of our body. But when God withdraws the ray of light, our soul, which he has put into our body, and makes our soul leave the body, no relatives or friends come and appreciate this body. The bad smell starts coming from it, and nobody wants to give any attention to that. That is why Guru Amar Das Ji says, why are you forgetting him? Why are you not remembering him, who is the only reason for glorifying our body? And from the hymn, by getting Nam, we get honor. By believing in Nam, we get happiness. Now Guru Amar Das Ji talks about the advantages of taking Nam. Because of the Nam, we will be respected in the court of God. If we don't have Nam, the messengers of death will come and give us trouble. And then he says that after drinking Nam, to believe in Nam, that means to manifest that Nam within us, only in that lies our bravery. Only they know how, through getting Nam, we can get real happiness after manifesting Nam within us. And from the hymn, from Satguru, we can get Nam only if we have good karma and his grace. In the lines above, Guru Amar Das Ji told us the advantages of Nam. He said that only because of Nam we will get repute in the court of God. And by manifesting Nam within us, we will get the real happiness Now this thought comes in our mind. What is the difficulty of getting numb? And what and where is that numb? This question does come up. So he says that numb is not in any book, any holy scriptures, or any place like that. It is not written in any particular language, Hindi, Sanskrit, Gurmukhi, English, or any other. That is an unwritten law and an unspoken language. About it, Guru Sahib says, that Nam has created the whole creation. Because of that Nam, the Khands and Brahmans, the divisions of the world, are existing. Who gets that Nam? Only they get Nam on whom God is very gracious. The one who owns this body, he himself has locked it and given the key to the Gurumukhs. Try any means, O brother, on the level of mind and intellect, still you will not get the knowledge of the Nam which is residing within you. But God, who owns this body, who has created this body, has kept that Nam within us. He himself has locked that treasure within us, and he has given the key to the Gurumukhs, to the beloveds of God or the Master. And no matter how much we search for that Nam, doing all kinds of practices on the level of mind and intellect, still he says that until we go to the Gurumukhs, we cannot get the real knowledge of Nam, because God himself has made the Gurumukh the treasurer of this Nam. The infinite Bani is residing within us. God has given this wealth also to the saints. The reality is that whenever God showers grace on the souls, he himself comes down in the form of a master. Guru Nanak says, God himself takes the form of a sadh. Whenever he wants to shower grace on the souls, he comes down in the body of a sadh. And Kabir Sahib says, the Creator is speaking through the human body. Without a body, how could he speak? If God had come in the body of a buffalo or a cow or some other animal, how would we understand his language? If he had come in the form of a spirit or a god or goddess, how would we see him? Until he takes up the human body, we cannot understand him, we cannot see him. No doubt he has the human body, but still he is more than man, and he is above all men. There are many people sitting in the satsang. Some of them are clever and some are not. But still, they are all called humans. In the same way, the Master has the human body, but he is above the limits of man, and he is above the limits of mind and matter. Kabir Sahib says, O Kabir, we have the knowledge of our real home, and we are bringing the message of the Creator. They have the secret knowledge of the real home, and they come down here carrying the message from God. That is why he says here, we can get that Nam from the Satguru. Who can get Nam? Only they can get the Nam on whom God has showered much grace and mercy. If God is not gracious on our souls, we cannot get initiation. There was one well-known instance of a man named Bhagirat who came to Master Kripal in Ganganagar in order to take initiation. And just as initiation was starting, he told me that he felt as if his body were breaking down and his clothes were on fire and he couldn't stand it. So I told him, this opportunity will not come again, and you should try and sit here and take this initiation. But he said, no, this is not in my control, and I'm going home. A very muddy road led to his home, and one small bus used to run there. So he sat on the bus and requested the driver to drive very fast so that he could get home as soon as possible, because he was not feeling well. And as he stepped into his home, he fell down. And he told his wife, "Now I am going, and those who have come to take me, they have very dangerous faces. I don't know whether they are going to punish me or what. But I'm also seeing one old man, the master, with a white beard, and he looks very kind, and he is going to help me." Then he left the body peacefully. His name was Bhagirath. The next day, when I came to know about him, I reported it to the master, and master said, "It was not in his fate, and God was not gracious on him, so he didn't get initiation. Even though he came here and was accepted and sat here, it was not in his fate to get initiation in this lifetime. So that is why he got up and left. But he was taken care of by the master. He had come in contact with the master once, and he will not go below the human body. Once again, he will get the human body, in which he will get the perfect initiation. So if God is not gracious on us, even though we come back, So if God is not gracious on us, even though we come to the initiation, still we can go back. God can take us back, even if he has not written the initiation in our fate." And from the hymn, "Those who turn their faces away from Satguru do not get any rest, and they remain in illusion. Neither in the sky nor on the earth do they get peace. Always they are born in the dirt." Now Amar Das Ji is describing the condition of people who take initiation from a perfect master, but afterwards criticize the master and talk against him. He says that those who are going away from the master remain in illusion and do not get peace in the sky nor on the earth. They go on wandering from one body to another, and they get so much suffering that sometimes they even have to come as insects of the dirt. There was an initiate of Baba Jamal Singh who used to live in the town called Dharival. After taking the initiation from Baba Jamal Singh, he started talking against him and slandering him in front of all the people. When he was criticizing Baba Jamal Singh personally, Babaji didn't mind that, and he kept quiet. But when he started talking against Swamiji Maharaj, Baba Jamal Singh's master, Babaji couldn't bear that. One can bear criticism of oneself, but if someone is criticizing his master, if he is a dear lover, he will never bear that, and he will definitely do something. So, Baba Jamal Singh, because he couldn't bear the criticism of Swamiji Maharaj, made him leave the body. This is the law of the masters, that anyone who criticizes his master will definitely get the body of a leper. In his next life, he did get the body of a leper, and he came to live in the leper colony at Tarantaran, which is a town near Amritsar. And there is an asterisk and a footnote here. The editor writes, "By manipulating his pralabdha or fate karma, masters have the power to do this, although they don't ordinarily exercise it." Now, this man was an initiate of Baba Jamal Singh, and once the saints give initiation, they definitely liberate the initiate, even if he makes mistakes. They may punish him, but only saints can liberate. So Baba Jamal Singh ordered Baba Sawan Singh from within, "Go to the leper colony at Tarantaran. There's one dear one there. Go and liberate him." When Baba Sawan Singh expressed his desire to go and visit that leper colony, the dear ones around him were surprised. They said, "Why should you go there? The lepers are dirty and the flies are sitting on their faces. Those flies will sit on your body. They are suffering and you will have to take on their karmas. They're very dirty and sick. You shouldn't go there. Why should you go there?" And Baba Sawan Singh replied, "No, I have to go there. Saints have to take on the karma of the world. That is why I should go there." So when Baba Sawan Singh Ji went there, he took a lot of sweets with him, plus many shirts and pajamas, and he gave the sweets and one pair of shirt and pajamas to every leper who was there. He was distributing those things with his own hands, and the people came and took those things from him. Some of them would look into his eyes, smiling, and some people would not look into his eyes. They would take their things and go away. Finally, there was one man who, when he saw Baba Sawan Singh as he was coming to take his things, he smiled and he said, "Now, you forgive me." And Baba Sawan Singh said, "Yes, I've come here to forgive you." When Baba Sawan Singh came back to the ashram, the dear ones asked him, "Was there a secret behind going to the leper colony? Why did you go there? Did that dear one know you, the one who requested you to forgive him? And you replied that you had come to forgive him. Did you know him? Had you ever been to that leper colony before?" So Baba Sawan Singh replied, "Yes, there is a secret. He was a dear one of Baba Jamal Singh, and in his past life he criticized Babaji's master. That is why he got the body of a leper. Now his punishment is over, and Baba Jamal Singh ordered me to go and liberate him. That is why he said, 'Forgive me.' So only the saints can liberate the critics of saints." And again from the hymn, "The deception of attachment has deluded the world. Those who have met Satguru, Maya cannot come near them." Creating this world, the negative power has thrown the souls into the illusion of Maya. But this snare of Maya cannot do any harm to those who are doing the devotion of the Satguru. In our previous village, there was an initiate of Master Kripal named Jagrup Singh. But after taking initiation, he went away from the path and started eating meat and drinking wine. Once it so happened that another initiate in that village accidentally ate meat and drank wine, but afterwards he realized his mistake. When Jagrup Singh came to know that he had taken meat and wine after initiation, he taunted him, and he said, "Either leave the path or don't eat and drink those things." Ordinarily, people have this habit of finding fault with others, and they don't even think about what they are doing or they have done. So that dear one replied, "But I did this by mistake, and now I realize it. You should not taunt me like this, because you also eat meat and drink wine. You have also made a great mistake." So Jagrup Singh said, "Yes, I have also done that, but it's not a mistake. I left the path, and then I started eating that. So you should also leave the path." I was turning in my place, and I heard this conversation, and I said, "Jagrup Singh, you should not talk like this. You say you have left the path, but Master has not left you. Definitely, at the time of your death, he will come to take you, and then you will realize that this was your mistake. At that time, you'll be so ashamed that you will not be able to look at the Master. You bring the promissory note, and I can write on that that you have left the path, you say. But in reality, Master will never leave you, because when saints initiate any soul, they always stay with him, and they never leave him until the end of the world." So when I said that, he said, No, I don't believe in that. This is all bogus. And after that, whenever I would see him, he would say, I'm waiting for that day. Whatever you said, it's all false. But I said, no, wait for the time, and you will realize this. Because he had made that mistake, he was given punishment on his body. Before leaving his body, he got sick. And once it so happened that he murdered a person and was sent to jail. It was while he was in jail that he left the body. There were many locks and guards there, but still Master appeared at that place to liberate him. And at that time Jagrup Singh said, Now my Master has come, but with which face can I stand before him? How can I reply to him? But still, Master came there. Once Master has initiated any soul, no matter if he has done bad deeds, still, Master comes at the time of death to liberate them. Because this thing happened, many prisoners who saw it were very impressed. They understood the importance, the greatness of the Master power. They wrote us many letters that they would take initiation when they got out of jail. Master left the body, and they are still in jail, but still they have the desire to get initiation. And again from the hymn, Those who serve the Satguru are beautiful, as they have removed the dirt of egoism. Now Guru Amar Das Ji Maharaj says that those who are doing the devotion shown by the Master, and those who have love for the Master, only they have beautiful faces, and they get much respect in the court of God. In this world, people praise them, and people praise them saying they are devotees because they're doing such good things. And again from the hymn, Those who merge in Shabad become pure and always remain in his will. One who merges himself in Shabad, only he is pure, only he is holy. Those who are doing everything within the will of God, only they are pure. And from the hymn, Only you are the Lord, the giver. You yourself graciously forgive and unite us with you. Now Guru Amar Das is praying to Almighty God, and he says, Only you are the giver. Only you are the emperor. You are Almighty God. Only you can liberate those on whom you are gracious. Guru Arjan Dev Ji Maharaj says, O God, if it were in our hands to come to you by ourselves, then who would want to be separated from you? And the final line from the hymn, Nanak says, We are in your refuge. Liberate us as you wish. At the conclusion of the hymn, still he prays to God and says, O God, whether you give us happiness or pain, we're happy in that. Do one thing for us. Make us free from the angels of death and from negative power, and take us to our real home. Because ever since our soul has separated from Shabad, it has not experienced any peace. It has not gotten any happiness. And that concludes that satsang. And today we're going to listen to a talk that Master Kripal gave at the Friends Meeting House in Washington, D.C. in June of 1955. This is called The Path of the Masters. And we've been playing some of the morning talk tapes in the last couple of weeks, and I know that it turned out that the quality of the tapes was not really easy to understand what Master was saying. I do still want to regularly be able to play Master Kripal's satsangs, and it takes some practice, so I'm starting with, this is a tape from 55 when Master's speech was a good deal clearer.
God made man. Man is composed of body, physical, intellect and soul. Man has, so to say, a physical body, an intellect and soul. There are great possibilities in man which are endowed by God equally well. But the question remains that we have to develop those possibilities within us. Some have developed in one way, the other have developed the other way. We have made so much advancement, so far as our physical side is concerned, and along with it, our social and political. We have also advanced wonderfully so far as the intellect side is concerned. I need not mention how far we have advanced in that respect. Everybody knows we have learned how to fly in the air. We can see television, we have got radios and others. But both these things, I mean physical body and intellect, are dependent on the soul which we are, you see. We know little or nothing about that. We only that know that much what is given in the Holy Scriptures. Those saints who came in the past, they did experience their side of the soul, I might say, and developed spiritually. Those who did experience of their own self, and after knowing their own self, they had the experience of ourself. They left us. They left us valuable prayers of their experiences which they had with their self and ourself, which now exist with us in the form of Holy Scriptures. We are fortunate today in the 20th century that all the saints and the masters who came in the past, their experiences are with us. We have got a wonderful legacy, you might say, with us. Had we come, say, 100 years before, we would not have the sayings of Swamiji Maharaj, the latest saint who came in India. And if we still go back, say, about 500 years back, we would not have the holy scriptures of the Sikhs, which form, I think, over 1400 pages, big sizes. Still further, if we go back, had we come before the time of Prophet Muhammad, say about 1400 years back, we would not have the Quran before us. Similarly, had we come before 2000 years ago, we would not have the wonderful saying of Christ with us. The point is, whenever these saints came in the past, they gave us the esoteric side of the things, the subjective side of the man, you see. What they have spoken just now, they only gave a history of the physical side of the show, objective side of it, not the inner man, which is the reality, a real man. Even before you go back, Zoroaster came, you see, Jainis Mahavir came up, Buddha, Lord Buddha came up. Had we come even before those times, you see, we would not have their experience with us. I say, if we had come before the times of the old Vedas, the oldest scriptures in the world, we would not have those treasures with us as well. So I say we are fortunate in this 20th century that all saints who came in the past, their wonderful experiences that they had with their self and with the over self, all of them are with us. Now it remains, there should be somebody who has the experience of that in life and can guide us and help us in having those experiences which they had or which they taught at the time when they did come. The difference lies only in the expression, the mode of expression and the language which was prevalent at the time, but the subject matter has been the same. The same thing even now stands, you see. Great is man. There are greater possibilities in man which we have to develop. I have just said that we have developed wonderfully so far as the objective side is concerned, physically and intellectually, but we know little or nothing so far as the intellectual side is concerned. If we know the inner man, we can see also the very background of it, the over self, the real background of the inner man. So first of all, that question is with us, that who we are and what we are. Is this 5 and 6 feet high statue which we are carrying, is this the man? Well, this is the outer man. This is the statue which we have to leave someday. Each man has to leave it. And the day does come when each one of also has to leave this body. That inner man which leaves the body, that we have to know. That is why all rishis and saints who came in the past gave out that thing, know thyself. Even the old Greeks had to say that, not his seat. Guru Nanak and Christ also reiterated the same truth, well, know thyself who you are and what you are. Those had experience, who had experience of their self, how they had that experience, how they could have the experience of the over self, they are wonderful, are they valuable, just with us. Nowadays we can read those holy scriptures, but to understand the right import thereof, we would require someone who has got experience of that inner self and the over self. If you have these holy scriptures from a man with that experience, you will be able to understand the right import of all those things. If you hear the same thing from an intellectual man, he will no doubt do his best to interpret things. But there may be a place where you will fail very badly. For instance, I will quote you one instance. In all the holy places of all the religions that exist today, you will find a common symbol in all of them. We have got temples which are domed shape, like the man's, and there you find the little light and also bell, ringing of the bell over there. In the Sikh temples also it is like that. In Buddhists and Jainists also they have got the same symbol. In the case of Zoroaster, you will find there also the unstuck light, symbol of unstuck light. In the case of the Christians also, the cathedrals are made nose-shaped, like that T-shaped. Therein also you find candles are lit and bell is going on. This is a common symbol which you find in all the, churches, temples of different social religions. What do they stand for? That's the point. That is something common about which we do not know exactly what they stand for. I had a Christian superintendent under me when I was in service. He was a Roman Catholic, and I asked him, well, look here, the Bishop of Lahore in India, he was considered to be most advanced intellectually. I asked him, well, will you go to Bishop and ask him, what does these two symbols stand for? He went to him and asked him, well, what does this symbol of the bell going on stand for? He replied, it is only to call men together. We take it all right. So far as the church is concerned, this may stand for that. But in other temples, you'll find the man who enters the temple, he rings the bell. So there's some common symbol, some symbol which stands for some experience inside, about which we know nothing so far. You'll find here that an intellectual man will feel where. It is a symbol of the sound principle going on in the reverberating in the whole universe and in the body of man. This is a symbol which stands for that in almost all religious places. So this is what I say. We can read the Holy Scriptures, but we cannot grasp the right import of them until we know, come across a man who has got experience of the inner self. So these are experiences which man had and now also can have if some personality, someone who has experience of the same thing within and is competent to give you. The litting of the light in all the temples and mosques and churches, you'll find that's a light of God, symbol of the light of God. So there's light of God within everybody. There's a sound principle going on, can be heard in everybody. Those who had experience of it, when they were asked, well, have you seen God? Is there a God? What did they reply? This question was put to Christ, and he said, behold the Lord. He did not give any reasoning for it. He said, behold the Lord. It is there. You see it. The same question you put to Guru Nanak in India. Well, is there a God? He said, yes, he is appearing everywhere. I see him. You remember the name of Vivekananda who came to America some time back? He was an atheist before. He was challenging everybody. There's no God. If there is there any man who has seen him? So he was just directed to one personality in Calcutta in India. When he went over to him, he asked him, Master, have you seen God? And he looked into his eyes and said, yes, my child, I see him just as I see you, even more clearly. Which are those eyes with which that can be seen? Guru Nanak says, those eyes are different with which we can see him. That eye is in every man, but still closed. We require opening of that eye. In Christ refer to it, eye is the light of the body. Even now, this is an old science, as I would say, not new thing which I am just putting before you, but we have forgotten. Now, there is a dire necessity of someone who has got experience of that very thing within himself and is competent to give you first-hand experience. The qualification of a saint is given by almost all the masters who came in the past, who can open our understandings, open our inner eyes to see the reality with one's own eyes. Shams Tabriz, the Mohammedan saint, he says we should be able to see God with our own eyes and hear His voice with our own ears. This is what all other saints did say so.
And we'll close today with Sanchis Bhajan, Jutta Sana Sardahe, on page 123. The world is false, life is destitute. Come, Kripalji, we wait for you, we wait for you. O my giver, we are the sinners. Do not look through our papers. The boat is adrift, take it across. Come, beloved, listen to the request, listen to the request. True is your love, we have only your support. We are the dirty ones, clean us, clean us. The soul has to do your darshan, but she is embarrassed. O giver, you forgive. You are the forgiver, you are the forgiver. This is the call of a jabe. The heart string is resounding. The world is false, life is destitute. Come, Kripalji, we wait for you, we wait for you.
Tasahansarahe jinda gila chadahe aokire palaji teddy into zadahe teddy into zadahe jutasahansarahe jinda gila chadahe Ao kire palaji, teddy into zadehe, teddy into zadehe. Mere dataji, gunagara si sade, kagazana folave, kagazana folave. Mere dataji gunagara asi sadde kagazana folave kagazana folave bedi manja darahe kara deo parahe ao kire palaji teri intazadahe Teddy into Zadahe, Jutta Sahansadahe, Jinda Gila Chadahe, Aokire Palaji, Teddy into Zadahe, Teddy into Zadahe, Ao Piade. Suna lo benati, suna lo benati. Ao piade, suna lo benati, suna lo benati. Satcha tera piadahe, tera hiya dadahe. Ao kire palaji, teddy into zadahe, teddy into zadahe. Jutta sahansadahe, jinda gila chadahe, ao kire palaji, teddy into zadahe. Asiha mele sanu ujala kada de ujala kada de. Asiha mele sanu ujala kada de ujala kada de. Kadena de darahi. Rusharam sharahe aokide palaji teri intazadahe jutasahansarahe jindagila charahe aokide palaji Teri intazadahe Tusi baksho dataji Tusi bakashindaho Tusi bakashindaho Tusi baksho dataji Tusi bakashindaho To see Baka Shindaho Ajay Badi Pukarahe Kadakarahi Tarahe Ao Kiripalaji Teri Intazadahe Teri Intazadahe Jutasahansarahe Jindagila charahe Ao kiripalaji Teri intazadahe Teri intazadahe
O giver, O giver, you forgive. You are the forgiver. You are the forgiver. This is the call of Ajaib. The heart string is resounding. The world is false. Life is destitute. Come, Kripalji. We wait for you. We wait for you. May God bless us all.